It is something wonderful that we time and again can praise the grace of God. Yes, and I think we want to do it as long until He will take us home. And there we can tune in with all the redeemed. Praise and thanks. Before we pray, I would like to read from Psalms 103. Let us stand up for it, and then we want to pray together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Up to here, this word of God. Faithful Lord, we thank you again, and we want to bring you the praise and the honor. All that is within me shall praise your name, and not only I, but all of us. From all that is within us, we want to exalt your name and honor him. For you have received us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We cannot forget what you have done for us. As the psalm writer expressed it, only good things you have given to us until this hour. Thank you that you redeemed us from all sin, from all guilt, and hast given us life. Praise, honor, and glory be to you. Lord, we ask you, be now with us in this afternoon hour. Anoint my brother again. Give your word, Lord, and give also that our hearts and our mind is open for that what is being said, what comes from your word. For we know everything else is sinking sand, but what you say to us from your word, this remains until all eternities. Take everything from us, Lord, what could be disturbing in our midst, Lord, or what could be in my life or in all our lives. Take everything out from us, Lord, and give us a heart which is ready to receive. Worship and honor be to your name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for the privilege that we can be here again. This afternoon, I will be forced to give my voice a break. But I said it many times, it's not the volume with which things are emphasized here, but the Spirit of God who reveals the Word, who leads us into the deep truths. And because it is so, we want to let the Word speak to us, and the rest God will then do. You all know, in these days, some things come up to me, and I hear then also in what kind of way trials come upon the one or the other. Sometimes also that among the believers is not pure sunshine, but that there are also needs. And that worries me very much. The moment must come where among the true believers really all are one heart and one soul, where all misunderstandings were cleaned out, where the heart is purified, as our Lord said it in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In another scripture we read, out of the heart come all the evil thoughts, which then lead over to the evil deed. But if God has given us a new heart, a new life, if He was really gracious to us and gave us these things, then it has to be manifested at some point. It cannot stay the same when we have been renewed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. If not everything have become new, then we are not yet a new creature. Then, as a matter of fact, we have not yet experienced the new birth. There are temptations that approach us from the outside. I'm not talking about that now. This will be the case with all of us until the end. But it's a big difference whether the evil approaches us from the outside or whether the evil comes out from our hearts. This is a very big difference. And I hope that these days not only serve for the purpose to be led deeper into the Word, but to be immersed anew into the grace of God, to come closer to God and to have a new experience with Him. I have written down some places quickly from the Seals book, which we will look at together, in the hope that God blesses us and that He is with us. And I believe He will bless us and He will be with us. For we come to this place only for one reason: to be prepared for the glory, to then meet the bridegroom of our soul. Before we read from the Seals book, I would like to read a precious and holy word of God from Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 25. It is also addressed to us, although it's a very rebuking word. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let us note this verse in particular, that out from our mouth comes forth only that what is a blessing for others. Here it says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, whether 3 hear, whether 30 hear, or 300, or 3,000, it doesn't matter. If we say something, may it to them who hear us, may it be a blessing for others. And then it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. This is also God's word, and we have to take it to heart if we want to be part of this multitude who not only received eternal life, but who would like to have part in the first resurrection. We have recognized the difference very clear. There is a church and there is a bride within the church. The 7 church messages, they are each addressed to the church, but the promise is only addressed to the overcomers, to those who in every church age overcome through the word which they heard and through the blood by which they were redeemed, to then be with the Lord. The overcomers are the first fruits who will then partake in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Our task is not only to prepare the people for the last day so that they then enter into eternal life. Our task is, without being arrogant, that we make people ready for the rapture, focusing our eyes on the first resurrection to then be with the Lord. And thus the standards may be a bit tighter. Let us not only look to other churches, let us look on us. God may have let through some things that he no longer lets through today. And he is just busy to purify us and to sanctify us. When we hear about the opening of the 7 seals, when we read them and deepen ourselves in it, then we must every time be new aware of it. What kind of indescribable grace it is that right we have been counted worthy to hear all these things which God has done in our days. And beyond that, he has given us the grace to remain sober and clear with the highest revelations which God gave us. We have been humbled very low and are very grateful to the Lord for it. What I like so much about Brother Branham as a human being is that his humanness, he doesn't cover it, but he discloses it. And I read you now something from the seals book, page 14. On top it says, I hope that people are spiritual. I would have made a horrible mistake on that if it hadn't been about 12 o'clock today when the Holy Spirit came in the room and corrected me on something that I was writing down to say. Brother Branham was about to write something down, and suddenly the Spirit of God comes into the room. You all know when Brother Branham says, "The Spirit of God is now here or there," then always the supernatural presence of God, the light, is meant, which he could notice visibly, and he heard the voice acoustically. He continues and says, "I was taking it from an old context. I had no revelation on it." He wanted to write down a thought which he read somewhere, a comment that some Bible teacher made. And suddenly, when he was about to write, the Spirit of God came into the room, stopped him, corrected him, and gave him the right revelation. Brother Branham could have bypassed that nicely. He could have kept quiet. But he was a true man of God. He was also just a human being as we are. He waited in the presence of God. So do we here today. We must be ready. Old ideas, which is not in conformity with the revelation which God has given, to put them aside. We must have the courage to admit that we did not know everything and that we took over things which others have preached. But now we are ready to put everything else aside, and that what God has spoken and revealed, to absorb it in us. He continues and sets forth, "And there about 12 o'clock in the day, the Holy Spirit just swept right down into the room, and the whole thing just opened up to me. And there it was. Thus the first seal was opened. Not a man, but the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, spoke, has revealed, has shown. He made it clear to then be able to say what God had to say." He affirms it here and says, "As true as I'm standing here, I'm convinced that what I will show you tonight, that it is the gospel truth. I just know it is. Because if a revelation is contrary to the word, then it's no revelation." To this we can all say yes and amen. A revelation which is contrary to the word of God, this is, if it's a revelation, then it's false. And hence, it's of no value. Just the contrary. It can only lead the people astray. I think here on this founder, Fraser. She founded the Letter Rain movement in South Africa. She succeeded to make clear to her own prophet that God has revealed unto her, Matthew 28, in a special way, namely that the believers have to be immersed three times and they swallow it until this very day. And it was that movement which made Brother Branham the ultimatum that he should confess to it. How could he do that? As a man and prophet of God, he cannot say yes to a thing which God condemned. Where would we come to? Let it be far from it. But you see how people with revelations established whole churches, great denominations. The error is of course not only in Rome or in the Vatican, it's in all Protestant churches and denominations, up to the last fellowships which in fact exist. And we must admit that we all stuck in the same error. We do not exalt ourselves above any man. We admit it freely and openly. It strengthens me a lot to know here we have an absolute, a speaking of God, revelations of God made known by the Holy Spirit for our teaching and leading in into the Word and into the will of God. Then it says here, and you know, there is some of the stuff that can look so absolutely true and yet isn't true. See, it looks like it, but it isn't. How often can people themselves believe that the thing which they have is so genuine, so true, so clear, so pure, so correct, and it's neither true nor clear, nor it is right? They just believe it. We could again list some founders, whether it was Russell, whether it was Joseph Smith, whether it were others, Ellen White, all had revelations, and all revelations were wrong. But the people still stick to them today. Instead to say that was false, they interpret the thing spiritually to be able to walk on again. But then from one error into the other. There is only one possibility to go in the truth from clarity to clarity. And this is therein to come out of the error. After all, we have nothing to lose. We are not embarrassing ourselves with it. And if, so what? Important is that God has helped us on the day of salvation, that He opened our ear, that we can hear as a disciple hears. It continues in the last passage on page 14. So if it comes to me by revelation, I will tell you so. But if I just have to take it through my own mind, then I will tell you before I talk about it. Just imagine how sincere, how honest, just like Paul. If he didn't have a word from the Lord, then he said, here I speak my opinion as somebody who received grace before God. But if he had a revelation, a word of God, then he could say, this I do not say, no, this the Lord says. And already all knew where they are at. With the same clarity, Brother Branham spoke. And also we then have to discern, where is revelation? Where does God speak? Where does God act? Where does He lead into the Word? And where did Brother Branham say something? In a sermon dealing with things with which he dealt with years ago. Here he continues and says, but as true as I'm standing here tonight, that it came afresh to me today from the Almighty. This sounds good. This is wonderful. As true as I'm standing here tonight, I say that it came afresh to me today from the Almighty. Earlier, he wanted to write down what somebody else has said, but now he confesses that what I say to you tonight, this I received today, not yesterday, today. He gives even the time at around 12 o'clock today, afresh from the Almighty. Thanks be to our God for it, that he had such a prophet, a man of God, who didn't have the revelations in his pocket, but who was waiting until they were given to him. Let us read on page 20, approximately in the middle of the page, page 20. How can a man say that the bride of Christ goes into the tribulation? I can't understand it. She is took away before the tribulation. If the church has been judged, that is, if they have judged themselves and have accepted the blood, how can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? This is a mighty statement. How can God judge a church which is totally, perfectly sinless? Now we may say, this probably cannot be correct. We look at our lives and we find enough, but God doesn't find it anymore. God doesn't see it anymore. For the blood, the perfect sacrifice, was offered to give us a perfect salvation, a perfect forgiveness by grace. And this is, of course, what God has to make us great, so that we don't work on our salvation our whole life, and on the deathbed are not yet saved, but that we understand what the Holy Scripture says. He that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a full salvation, a perfect redemption, which places a perfect church, sinless, blameless, unreprovable, before the presence of God. We can only do one of two. Either we believe ourselves and that what the enemy whispers to us, and look on the old bungled life with the whole shebang, or we look on the Lord, on the crucified one who has shed his precious and holy blood to bring a perfect redemption And out of this perfect redemption must come forth a perfect church. Out from the perfect can only come forth something perfect. From God can only come forth something divine. We have to believe that. And then we are helped. Then we see one another through the blood of Christ, just as God looks at us by His grace. How can God judge a person who is perfect, who is totally sinless? This is perfect divine justification in your and in my life. Not only a partial debt was paid, but the whole debt, and on top of it, the letter of requirements was torn in pieces. If it is shown again, then it is 100% a forgery, totally sinless before the presence of God. I read, you may say, there is no such a person. The answer is, every born-again believer, true believer, is perfect, absolutely sinless before God. This is redemption. This is full salvation. This is grace of God. And we make efforts until we can't anymore. And then? And how does it go on then? Then we wait until we received a bit strength again to struggle again. No, the true faith comes to a rest in God. To the people of God was given a absolute rest. It exists, and we may enter into it. I read on. He is not trusting in his own works, but in the blood of Jesus, wherein his confession rests. Our confession does not rest in our capability, in that what we intend to do, and keep registering new failures. Our confidence rests in the Almighty God, in the perfect sacrifice, in the pure and holy blood which was shed. The Bible says so. He that is born of God does not commit sin, for he cannot sin. 1 John 3, 4-10. How can you make a man a sinner when the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ is between him and God? That would scatter sin till there had been nothing left of it. How can that pure blood of Christ ever let a sin pass there? It is impossible. Yes, this could make us all happy. Who was it? One of our poets or composers. He said, if the redeemed would look like redeemed, then one could believe more in their Redeemer. And it seems to be very true. We all mope and have all our troubles and afflictions, and we bring shame on the Lord through our own unbelief, of which we let ourselves be depressed and tormented, instead that we know that we, as children of God, were placed into the liberty of the sons and daughters of God. according to the scripture, that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Not only will do it, but has translated us. I read the last part again. How can that pure blood of Christ ever let a sin pass there? It is impossible. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And how could we even start the thought of being perfect? But Jesus requires it. And if Jesus requires it, he's got to make a way for it. And he has his own blood. And if we then would read in Hebrews of the new living way which he consecrated through his flesh, through the veil, and entered into the Holy of Holies to offer the blood upon the mercy seat. Here, Brother Branham asked the question, how can we even think about to be perfect? And then comes the answer that we have become it through him who was perfect, that we were made blameless through him who was blameless, that we have been made sons of God through him who as the Son of God was manifested. Everything happened through him. Let us read on page 23. Here it says, on the top right, page 23, on the top right, but the true bride will be made up of thousands times thousands of people, but it will be the elect out of every age. Every time a message went forth and the people believed it and accepted it in all the light it was, then they were sealed away until that day of redemption. Also, a very mighty word. In each of the seven church ages, God has taken care for it that a special message of the word was preached, and all people who at that time believed and accepted the message in the light as God has given it, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. They agreed with God. They respected God's word. They didn't object God, but they let themselves be pardoned. Always when a message went forth and the people believed it, accepting it in all the light as it was given, they were sealed away unto the day of redemption. We spoke already about it here, that there is an anointing with the Spirit, but that there is also a sealing through the Spirit. This is a vast difference. Anointed are many. And Brother Branham has said it very clearly in the sermon, The Anointed Ones at the End Time. But this is what matters to us today, namely to find out where the sealing can take place. Not only the anointing with the Spirit, but the sealing of those who accept and believe the divine message in the full light, in the full revelation, as God has given it at its time, without any but and if. These are the people who in this last age will receive the sealing. Is this clear? Did we all understand this? A difference between anointing with the Spirit, and you know very well, we have it explained it already. I have already in the year 1955, when we there around 15,000-16,000 people heard Brother Branham, it were almost only Pentecostals. All were speaking in tongues, all were singing in tongues, all were anointed. It seemed as if heaven would be on earth. But not long from then, the one and the other preacher sowed doubt and said, the gift of revelation, something is not right here. This man is a clairvoyant. The man is a fortune teller. I will never forget it when one of the most famous Pentecostal preacher made all these utterances. We were actually very close to one another. But from that moment, we were divorced people by God. When something happens through the Spirit on the platform, happening infallible, but then somebody out of envy, because the people rejoiced, and probably he was afraid that now he with his ministry will not be so popular anymore, that there a man came on the scene whom God could bless much more. Instead of thanking the Lord for it, these brothers have let come up envy and jealousy in them. And what happened then? Then that what God has done through the Spirit was blasphemed by them who were anointed with the Spirit. And Jesus, our Lord, said, every sin will be forgiven to the people, but the sin to blaspheme the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven to anyone. How many are in all of the world who still say today, yes, Brother Branham was a mighty man of God, but his teaching was false and so forth. This is a contradiction in itself. Either it is a good tree and it brings forth good fruits, or it's a rotten tree and it bears rotten fruits. You cannot gather figs of thistles. Never ever. But you see that the matter gets serious. Not only anointing with the Spirit, not only operating of gifts and administration of offices, but following the revelation of the Spirit and of the Word, to agree inwardly, to agree with God, and to submit to it. And the message which the Lord has given, to accept it in the fullness of the light, just as He gave it by His grace. Now, I have straight a question addressed to all of you. Who of you has still trouble with any doctrine, any revelation, or with something that are found in all the sermons which we call the message Is there still anyone? All right, you don't have to raise your hands anyhow. But should it be the case, then I will give you one good advice. If you don't understand a certain thing, accept it anyhow and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe it, although it's not fully clear to me yet." Because sometimes we first have to believe a thing before it can become clear to us. For if we don't believe it, how shall it be illuminated to us? Faith comes first, and then comes the illumination. We have here the wonderful promise, which should make us all glad, that all believers who in that certain church age receive and accept the entire message in the light in which it was given, they will be sealed. This makes me happy. Can you say amen? Can you believe that it will happen with us? If it hasn't happened yet, absolutely. What God has promised, this He keeps for sure. On the same page, right in the middle, we read, "See, it isn't as something that God just seeks out of this age a few thousand people and takes them to Himself. It is the very elect of every age. And that's the reason Christ has to stay on the mediatorial seat back there as an intercessor until that last one comes in at the last age." Also, this is 100% correct. He remains as the advocate on the mercy seat until the last one whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, until he is called out, has heard the message, and then was sealed. The moment comes, the time comes, in which God will make the sealing. At the moment, it goes a bit to and fro. One has to still speak about this and about that. This is not yet clear, and he understands it that way. It must come to the point that we all have been taught by God. Unity in the doctrine, unity in the faith, one in Jesus Christ our Lord. It continues here. "And these revelations then of what it has been breaks forth upon the people, and they see what has happened." You get it now? Not only that we presently see what God is doing, we see what has taken place during the seven church ages. Let us continue on page 25, also approximately in the middle. Here it says as follows: "So it will be with you. If you speak one thing and think another, you better stop that. Get your thoughts on God. Keep them pure and stay right there with it, and speak the same thing all the time." You see what it's about here. Not speaking two different things, but to say that what we think. And if we don't want to say it, then we also don't need to think it. Things which we could not say to one another, we don't need to think in our heads at all. for they are anyhow unprofitable and won't be a blessing to anyone. Therefore, we shall only think that what we also could say. Get your thoughts on God. Keep them pure and stay right there with it and speak the same thing all the time. Don't say, well, I will say, I will believe it, but I will check it and I will go to find out. Just believe it. Amen. There are also people like that who say, I believe, but I will check it out. It's of course right. The Holy Scripture says, prove all things and keep the good. It depends on our inner attitude. If people have a hidden agenda that they want to check, to find something so that they afterwards don't have to believe anymore, there the trouble starts. He who is sincere before the Lord, he will be led by the Spirit into all truth. It continues here, of those who should go through the tribulation, how could they go through a trial to purify them when the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ takes every symptom of sin and stuff away from you, and you are already dead, and your life is hid in Him through God and sealed in there by the Holy Ghost? What are you going to be judged for? I ask that too. For what should we then still be judged? If God has made all the damage well, then we can only say, Lord, you have taken our judgment upon yourself. Our chastisement was laid on him, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. He who does not believe, as the scripture says, he will die in his sin. But then it's not God's fault, then it's our fault, because we did not believe God. And if we don't believe him, we make him a liar. That's what the Holy Scripture says. So, we are not only saved, we are purified, we received forgiveness. And here Brother Branham says, our life is hid in Christ with God. That's how Paul writes it to the Colossians from verse 1 to 3. And then comes the wonderful sentence, when Christ shall appear in our life, then also we shall appear with him in glory. He must and he will appear in our life. We of course died with him. We were buried and our life is hid with him in God. Brother Branham speaks it out already as a finished fact and says here, and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. What are you going to be judged for? Where do you want to go to get your purification? What do you have to be purified from when you are perfectly in Christ, sinless? This is the gospel. When I hear my friends and brothers who sit here to my right side, when I hear them pray, then I have the impression that they have put off their burdens. Then I have the impression that they believe and that they can rejoice. And when this then comes over to us, we then have a hard time. Perhaps because our mentality is a bit different, but we don't want to put it on the mentality, but on the unbelief. Paul writes, "The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. This doesn't mean that we should laugh loud, but a deep, intimate joy is also the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You can read it in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all these fruits. Joy belongs to it. What do you think of it? If God would give us today a day of joy. After all, we sing, "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let the Word and the Spirit come in. This is the day. It is our day. This is the time. It is God's time. And His time is our time. His Word is our Word." Today, we could actually thank the Lord. If we believe that He made the damage well and that paradise is open again, and that's how we didn't read it on last night, but in Luke 23, you can read it. When the one called upon the Lord, he heard his voice. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise." The damage was made well. The entry to paradise is open. Jesus Christ has reconciled us with God. He is the way, the door. He is all in all for us, and He would like to become it through us. This day shall be a day of joy, a day on which we understand that God has already done everything that could be done, and that we just have to believe it. And for the rest, He will take care. Brother Branham asks here the question, what's the judgment for? He who judges himself will no more be judged. What is written in John 5:24? He who believes Him who sent me has crossed from death into life and does not come into judgment. When the Lord Jesus wanted to raise Lazarus and spoke of the resurrection, there she said, "Yes, I know that he will rise on the last day." But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." We don't have to wait for the last day. Today, here we hear His voice. Today we shall rise with Him unto a new life. Hallelujah! Praise and honor be unto our God. It continues here. But this is the hour of revelation. Just at the time when the bridegroom comes, it is the last winding up of the last things. I believe, friends, that everything comes to its end. When? I don't know. I can't tell you. I want to live tonight, like if it was tonight, I would be ready. Also, this is good, beneficiary and correct. Not making the time ready, but making us ready for the time. This is that what matters. Some think Brother Branham has set the date for the end. This is absolutely not right. He has not done it. He spoke of the last church age. This we all know. And he said, when it started, and he said, according to my opinion, it could last until 77. But I could be wrong 20 years, I could be wrong 100 years. But I know that it will take place. Certainly, also Paul expected the return of the Lord. He said, we who are alive and remain, can I call him a false apostle or prophet? Absolutely not. Every man of God, every child of God expects the return of the Lord at his time. 400 years ago, 300 years ago, 200 years ago, 100 years, all were children of God, and they, at their time, expected the return of the Lord. Do you really believe it? I believe it. And all who did not expect the return of the Lord at their lifetime, they will also not experience it. This may be a hard saying, but think about it. Look, if we experienced Christ, then this is a living hope in us. The Word is a divine reality, and we are in great expectation of the return of the Lord. Should I not experience it, then never say, Brother Frank was also mistaken. No, he was not mistaken. If I would be called home before the coming of the Lord, then on the other side, you can hear my testimony that I rightly believed and that I rightfully waited for the coming of the Lord. Let us say it even more clear. Your and my day, your and my hour could be today. Even if the return of the Lord may still last a little longer for everyone, your and mine hour could come today. If you, in your heart, would not be joined with God, if there would be no longing for Him in you, and you would be called today, ask yourself whether you would then be with the Lord. This living hope must be in us. If it shall find fulfillment, do we get it? If it would not be so, yes, what are we waiting for then? But that's how it was with all children of God during all ages. They were not mistaken at all. The Lord has taken them home. They didn't wait in vain. They entered already paradise. The unbelievers misunderstand this matter. And they say, huh, there also this Brother Branham, this great prophet, as they say, has waited for the Lord, and it was also in vain. I beg your pardon. Brother Branham did not wait in vain for the Lord. He is now with the Lord. He was taken home, just like all the others who went before us. Do you all understand what we are talking about? It's a living hope, which all true believers carry in them. This is neither deception nor disappointment. This is divine reality Whether the Lord picks up an individual or whether He picks us up together doesn't matter. We will be with the Lord at all times. Then everything will be all right. Then it's true. It's anyhow always true with God and with them who believe His word. Just quickly, I want to still read this passage so that you know that He said it. On page 26, it says, right on top, I read here the second line. I want to live tonight like if it was tonight, I would be ready. He might come tonight. And He might not come for 20 years. I don't know when He will come. My life might be over tonight. And then whatever I have done here is finished at that hour. I've got to meet Him in the judgment the way I went down here. The way the tree leans, that's the way it falls. So, there are other quotes and other statements where Brother Branham has made it very clear that he didn't set any date. May God give us this grace to never set a date, just to have one desire in the heart, to be ready daily. If the Lord would call us, that we then are with Him throughout eternity. Nothing more is necessary. Thanks be to the Lord who has prepared everything for us by His grace and said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again to receive you unto myself. Many thousands He has taken home already. Right at the end, those who remained, that's how it is written literally, those who remained, yes, why the word remained, then all the others went already before us, and those who remain at the end will then be changed, and together we then enter into glory. What a grace! What a living hope! A true word of God, which shall all comfort us. May we not forget it. It is a perfect redemption through the perfect Redeemer. The result of this perfect redemption is a perfect church, unreprovable, untouchable, under the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of the Lamb, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. Everything has become one in God. A new life we received. Believe it today and let us thank the Lord together for it. Should someone not have experienced it yet, then don't be ashamed. Cry out from your soul and open your mouth. Call upon the name of the Lord, and ye shall and will be saved. It is still a happy message, a true gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are pardoned. We are redeemed. God made our damage well. Everything is all right with God. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be unto the Lord. We want to receive His word fully, to then be sealed with the Spirit who revealed the word. Do you believe that it takes place? Amen. Praise and thanks be to our God. We stand up to thank the Lord. Let us do it together. I will ask Brother Rus that he comes and prays. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this hour of grace and especially for these comforting words which we could hear together. Lord, you didn't speak in vain. No, Lord, what you have promised, this you will keep, Lord. And for this we praise your wonderful name. Lord, everybody may come to you. Everyone may receive the certainty that you accomplished everything for him on the cross of Calvary. Lord, now is the acceptable time. Now is the hour in which we can come to you, where we can call, "Come, Lord Jesus, into my life. Come into my heart, Lord. My God, give grace that the hearts open, that the mouth opens, that we praise you, O God, as from one mouth, and that the certainty is given to us by you. O Lord, we ask, give it by your grace to all them who have not yet this certainty. My God, please be merciful, Lord. Give grace that we can look up to you, that we trust you, that we believe you, that we take you at your word. Receive the glory, receive the praise and the worship, Lord, from all our hearts and from all our mouths. Glory to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. It is so precious. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let us sing, "This is the day, this is the day." Beloved, I don't know whether we can play on a 10-stringed harp. Here are 10 strings of a harp. And maybe we should really thank the Lord once. Really, from the heart. I mean, you don't need to. But it might not be bad if we would detach ourselves a little from ourselves. To get out of ourselves a little. Whoever has the tie too tight can loosen it up. And we sing to the Lord, understand it, what has been given to us by his grace. This is our day, the message of God for us, our time, our hour. Billions of people, they don't know anything about it, and we are pardoned. Whoever wants to raise his hands may raise them. Whoever wants to clap a bit, may he do it. Whoever wants to cheer, let him cheer. Whoever wants to weep, let him weep. There can be a weeping of gratitude. Also, all this exists. We want to close our eyes now. No one cares about the other. We are all in the presence of God. Let us sing in reverence. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, we thank you with all our hearts for the hour in which we may live. You have opened our eyes and hearts. You have given us the understanding for the Scripture. Thy Word is a revealed Word, a living Word. We thank you for it. Dear Lord, manifest thyself as the risen One, as the living One, as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Walk and act, speak and work in our midst for the glory and for the honor of your name. Faithful Redeemer, your dying was worthwhile. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for it. May your reward be great. And may the redeemed be gathered. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. 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 I'm redeemed through his blood. I am redeemed through his blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am so well. Hallelujah. The Savior is mine. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be saved.